Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're
Jenna!
Here.
We want Matt Hall back.
What a way to greet Matt
Foreman.
Hi, Matt Foreman. I'm going to hang out with some people and record an episode that you guys are going to love. And that's how we got Steve Norris and Hank DeMahusky here.
Love.
There we go.
Thank you.
So how many podcasts have you done this week, Steve?
Let's see. How many? Zero?
Zero? So this is the first one? Right on. How about you, Hank? You just recorded in front of about 5,000 people. You're on YouTube, Charlie Kirk Memorial.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nicely done, brother.
That was a big podcast. No, this is actually a return.
Yes,
I think
it
I was episode 75 or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, there we go.
For Sin 315. So honored to be back.
Yes, and thank you so much. This is one that I've been talking to you guys about for a while, and I've told Brianna a little bit about ReFire. I've noticed that I use a lot of exclamation marks in all the things I put up. You're going
equip.
Signs around, for, yeah, equip, connections, just put an exclamation mark on it, and suddenly
makes
there's some
bigger.
Energy there. Yeah. But we hang out once a month in a group called ReFire. How would you describe what that group is about and why we're getting together, guys?
I think it's just to have a group of guys that have had life experiences and have retired or are on the verge of retiring. It gives us a vision for what retirement looks like. I think that would be the best way to look at how we can navigate through retirement, things that we can do that the Lord has invested in us to continue work, even though we're not receiving a weekly paycheck.
There we go. Do you concur, Steve? Is that about it?
Retirement, definitely life-changing. Because when I would work, I would just go a million miles an hour every day for 40 years. Then all of a sudden, it's like, now what? Well, this is kind of puts things in focus and help guys that are going through the same thing and saying, okay, God, what do I do now?
Yeah,
definitely a right turn in your life.
Yeah, big transition. It really is. It's similar in some ways to when you get married and when you're a mom or a dad for the very first time. And significant issues that happen in your life, like death or divorce or different things, there's a transition there, and it's like the kind of like the fourth quarter or the fourth lap, and you're not done yet, but what are you supposed to do, and how do you navigate that?
Right. Yeah, it's something that I don't think a lot of people take seriously. They may look at the spreadsheet, and they may look at their investments and get everything all listed up and say, yes, I'm in a place financially that I can sever my relationship with my employer and move on to life. But I worked at the post office for almost 35 years.
Yep.
And in the last 6-7 months before I retired, I started going to other people's retirement parties. They were being celebrated. People were saying all sorts of nice things about them. And I would take them to the side afterwards and say, hey, so congratulations. What is retirement look like to you? What are your plans? What are you going to do? And a lot of them would just say, I really don't know. I haven't really given it much thought. Maybe I'll volunteer and do something like that. I don't know. My mind's going, dude, you're going to be dead in 6 months because you have no vision for the future. And I'm going to see your name on a time clock saying, Joe Blow, who retired in June 2016, passed away suddenly.
I love when Hank encourages us.
All I'm saying is that I don't believe that when we retire from our job, that's when we stop producing, we stop doing things.
Yeah. We don't retire from life.
You don't retire from life, but some people
do.
But some do. They just sit on a couch, grab a box of bonbons, turn on Family Feud, and watch it over and over again.
Yeah, you know, I've seen it happen, and that's one of the reasons why I was interested long before I was even close to retirement. I got introduced to a couple of guys. One of them introduced me to another one. We went out to lunch, and these were big deal city guys. Like, they ran departments in the city, and I played in that arena for a little while, never elected to anything, but supporting them in prayer and helping to get stuff done, that kind of thing. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to these two guys talk, and they're talking about retiring. They're talking about what they're going to do in retirement. I'm going, why am I hanging out with old dudes like this, man? Lord, these guys, like, what? And the Lord, this time gently, not with a 2x4, said, Kevin, they're ahead of you. Learn. Learn, because you're going to be there. It sounds shocking, but you too will be there. So learn from these people that are a little bit further down the road than you are. And so that always planted in my head and it kept it there. And so I started watching, and I watched the guy who did. He'd put on the headphones connected to the TV so it didn't disturb his wife and sit there all day like a vegetable. Yeah. And this is a guy that was a volunteer. He was really active. He was really doing stuff. And I went, okay, that one's a no. Then all wise men, you watch your wife. And my wife Sylvia did a transition where she stepped down a little bit, and now she has given her notice and she's fully retiring. She asked me today, ask Siri, oh no, my phone's gonna wake up. Ask somebody how many days till Halloween, because that's when she's retiring fully, 42 days from now. And I was watching the challenges in the transition. Losing responsibility for stuff, losing authority over stuff. And really, I don't know about you guys, and I want you to talk about this, and Brianna, because you're brilliant, you've got something to say about this. You're a wee bit off of retirement, I think.
Right.
Doesn't it come down to where we find our identity, especially
sure.
as men?
Sure. Yeah.
We got a guy in the group, and he finally, shockingly, gave a year and a month to his retirement. Oh, and we all fell over and fell on the ground because this guy was
Don
going.
Kuhn.
Yeah. Oops, his name. Now I'll have to rephrase what I was about to say about my good friend Don, who does listen to the show.
In a joking way, I did call him a liar because.
Right. You are going to die from 10 million volts or something out on a job in. I don't know, some border.
Indio, I think, is where he's
at.
Yeah,
Indio is a bad, tough job right now. Don't talk about the company who's having a hard time on that job right now. But the thing is, he loves what he does.
Sure does.
And he is a boss. He gets things done. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of when we hang out, we're talking about, okay, is our identity in the task that we do or the position that we've obtained, or is it somewhere else? So from hanging out with all these wise guys, what have you guys come up with about identity?
One of the things that hit me when, like you said, when you retire, I was in a position of authority and, you know, guys worked for me and things like that. And so you strip that away, then all of a sudden, okay, all right, I'm just in charge of me now. And so you try to sit there and figure out, okay, what's the next step? Something that hit me before I actually retired, there was a roundtable meeting, I think it was for men, and one of the speakers said that you're talking about ministry, and he said your ministry should be your family first. You don't necessarily have to go anywhere. Look at your family, look at your family needs. And it just resonated with me, and I realized all the family members that are either not serving the Lord, or my grandkids, my wife and I, we talked, our grandkids became our ministry.
Yeah.
And the ones that are here, we can reach out to. We stepped out from my 9-to-5 job, so to speak, but then I stepped into the role of ministering to my kids and our grandkids. And that really just took the focus off of me and saying, okay, what can we do to provide an environment for our kids to know Christ or to watch them grow, and especially the younger grandkids, just being able to talk to them about the Lord. It just changes your whole outlook, and it's like, okay, they're going to be around for quite a while, so I know this isn't going to go away.
Part of that to me, for what you're saying, and I'm a grandkid kind of guy, is a legacy. We talked about that, and books have been written about leaving a legacy. Live a life that would equate to an eulogy that you would want to hear about yourself. And the thing about that with your grandkids, a few generations away, maybe they're not going to know Grandpa Steve's name, but you know what? Those seeds planted create, sometimes change, the entire trajectory of a family.
Yeah,
it did with my dad, for sure.
Right.
That is not a just kind of thing, like, oh, just the kids, just the family. That is huge and powerfully effective, because who else is going to do it with your grandkids if you don't do it?
Yeah.
So it's important. What about you?
I just remember when I did retire, my daughter gave me a t-shirt, and it had the word retired across it, and it was all squiggled out, and right above it said professional grandfather. And I realized at that particular time that all of this wide open time now that I have to be able to go pick them up at school if Robin can't go. And then the byproduct of that is I can take them out for a treat. I can take them out to lunch. Yeah. I can take them to the park. I can do these things because this freedom has been provided by not having that work schedule that I had. Being able to invest in them, one of the gifts the Lord has given me is musically, to be able to go and spend time helping them grow in their musical skills and all that. So
how sweet.
It's a beautiful thing. So if you're purposeful about it and you think about it and you go, this is not the end of something, this is actually a relaunching and the beginning of something even greater, maybe.
Yeah. And you know what hit me with that, Hank, is God doesn't value this fourth quarter less.
Yeah.
Like, because you just retired, so it's not that big a deal, this coast to the finish line or something. Not at all. Yeah. This is just as important, whatever we called important. Yeah. Like when we did the big event, when we accomplished the big deal, when we were getting notoriety for whatever in our lives. This is critically important and has to be given to God. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Sabbath a little bit, but before I do, there's just wisdom oozing out of that microphone over there. Mm-hmm. What about identity? What have you learned about identity, Brianna, as it applies to what we're talking about?
Well, I can't take on the mantle of retired in a sense of I'm not at retirement age. I don't work in like an official government is paying me job, but I still work at our church. I also am not the head of family. For me, I mean, in relation to like what they're saying just about having a bunch of time in your hand, I did transition from working basically full-time like in mental health for a while to not doing it anymore. And I struggled because I did start having a lot of time on my hand, and I'm 33. And so it felt very weird to be 33 and have all this time and not really be amounting to anything, not feeling like I was like doing anything really. But I also struggled because I didn't have the title of a lot of things. I'm not a mom. We don't have children. I am a wife, but there's not a whole lot to do in my household. I think that through that season, what God really taught me was first and foremost that we're Christians and that it's easy for us to get wrapped up in the identity of a title. And if that title is stripped away from us, it's easy to feel very lost, or if I'm not this, then what am I? You know,
yeah.
For me personally, like if I'm not a mother, then what am I doing, especially at a church that we like thrive on family and everybody has like 6+ kids and and all my friends around me, even ones that are younger that are married for the most part, have children. And so if I'm not a mother and I'm not working somewhere, then what am I doing? And I really had to just come to terms with the fact that first and foremost, you're a Christian. And if at the end of your life, you live your life without certain titles, you know, if I die and I never am a mom, then it doesn't decrease the significance or the joy of living. And so I think for like retirement, what it sounds like is that you spend a lot of your years in a position. And in that transition, there's probably a temptation of if I'm not grinding, then what am I doing? Especially as a man, because I feel like there's a sense of if you're not tired and hate your life when you get home, then are you actually really working very hard? And I just think that's not true. I think that
I'm glad to hear that.
I think that life is more than a lot of the things that we make it out to be.
One of the things, because we do have the gift of time. Right now, Hank and I both supposedly work part-time.
Yeah.
I'm definitely working part-time. Hank,
my wife might argue with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, your wife might. I stepped in from being responsible for a whole lot of stuff and working a whole lot of hours and enjoying a whole bunch of it to having less responsibility and less hours and everything like that. So that gave me the gift of time.
Sure.
That wasn't necessarily as available as it was when I was way busy. How have you found that? Now you're saying you've got more time. We've all three agree, more time with the grandkids, more time with your wife, that kind of thing. But like, for example, Steve, you came up with an idea a while back and decided, why don't I? How did your ministry part of filling your time come to you? And what's going on with that?
One of the things when I was looking at retirement and saying, okay, I've got time to do things. Of course, there's always things to do around the house, but I wouldn't necessarily call that a ministry. And then I thought, well, what can I do? I don't have a lot of skills as far as carpentry or anything like that, but I always felt that there were people in the church and the community that were in need of simple things to do around the house. And I thought, you know what? I can change a light bulb. I can paint a wall. And I thought, there's people out there that may not have the ability to do that because maybe they're partly handicapped or there's just things physically that are restricting them from doing it. And I thought, you know, I can do that, but I'm sitting there thinking there's got to be other people, other men that could want to do that to go along with me. And so I approached Kevin and asked him, I said, can we start something to where get hooked up with men or women in the church that can do some simple things for other people?
And what did I say?
Said, yes.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. I've always just felt that we're called to serve. That's the first thing that Christ asks us to do. Where can we serve? A lot of people are like, well, I'm not musically inclined, and I don't have this, and I don't have this, but I can do something. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, well, let's get this going. And so we actually had to sign up last week at church at the ministry fair, and had 8 guys, all contractors, sign up to help.
Wow. And they all know, yeah. 80 contractors, what I see with a ministry like right. this. Plus, getting back to the Sent 315 part of it, that we're sent, and one of the styles mm-hmm. of sharing Jesus is servant right. evangelism. Mm-hmm. Right. There's a guy on my block, and his name's Paul, and he's in our bus ministry. Some of you might know Paul. Mm-hmm. And so Paul's just on fire for Jesus. So a neighbor moves in next door to him, right across the street from me, and it's a Muslim family. And it's a mom. There's no male figure there, but a whole lot of kids. So he just starts mowing her lawn. I don't even know if he asked her. It's just that the lawn needed to be mowed, and he lives next door, so he mows her lawn. And so then the kids, he's got a young daughter that I love, and they start playing together and everything. And so little Foz, so I don't know how old she is, maybe she's a 10-year-old Muslim girl, came to church.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
First of all, it's diabolical to unleash your kids who are having incredible fun at Foothills and learning about Jesus and all of that. They're secret weapons, right? Yeah. But just that service, yep. inside and outside the church. You're right. I can't paint a wall, ask my wife, but I can change a light bulb and do a couple of things. So I'm probably the best unskilled laborer that I know because I have a lot of energy skills.
I'm pretty close.
Yeah, there we go. So it's something that the people that are listening, because yeah. there's a bunch of people, and some of them are our age in our season of life, and they need to be activated.
Yeah.
The other thing that we talked about in the group, there was 3 things, as I recall, from the very beginning. We've been doing, a couple of years now, getting together? Yeah. One of them was just supporting each other and praying for each other, sure. and being there for each other, which is another thing that guys, and especially our generation of guy, is we'll go Lone Ranger,
yeah.
right? We've never asked anybody for directions ever in our life, no matter how many times our wife asked us to. We just keep driving, things like that. We're Lone Ranger without Tonto. And so we'll just so be individual, and so we'll isolate. Do you find that sure. to be true, Hank? Is that something? A million people, but have you found that to be true?
In my life?
Yeah.
No, I try to get out and I try to be involved in people's lives, but I can see how that could be a problem with when your family was the XYZ company and you devoted so much time over there, and then mm-hmm. they were your family.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's right.
Some of them were probably closer than brothers and sisters. And then you left that family, and you can potentially, because of how much time you invested in it, you don't have anything outside of that. And in my particular case, I'm still trying to be connected with people that were part of my family in the Postal Service. 9 years ago when I retired, I still send text messages on their birthday. I'll send messages, hey, is blah, blah, blah still working? Who's the new manager? And, but yeah, I guess there would be a tendency if you're out there to get isolated. And the beauty of our little refire group is that we have this connection with one another, that we're praying for one another. We're being involved in each other's trials, tribulations outside of in their families or whatever, or school boards or whatever it might be. And, yep. and it's a good thing. It's a good tool.
And I think that's part of one of the shifts that you made when you had more time because you weren't over there at the post office getting all the mail to where it needs to go most of the time in a timely manner. But you shifted into like pastoral care in the sense
sure.
of, because yeah. you were yeah. the perfect guy for it. On our staff, this is the perfect guy for that.
True.
Everybody in our office knows it was Terry Basso's birthday this week because of Hank. Yeah. And then she was inundated with love, affection, and respect
yeah.
and celebration. But one of the things that somebody could pick up who might be in our season is something that you head up. You don't do all of it. And you get on the phone sure. and say, hey, Kev, I'm headed down to the hospital
yeah.
because we have somebody in the congregation, somebody maybe we know and love, or maybe somebody who nobody really knows and loves, mm-hmm. and you want to come down and pray. So if the schedule permits, we like doing that.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a pastor to do that.
And right? you know what's a beautiful thing that you get along with that is that if I'm driving down to a hospital in La Jolla, I get 45 minutes with that person in the passenger seat that I get to talk to and minister to, and then 45 mm-hmm. minutes on the way back,
yep.
hear stories, hear what's going on in their lives. So it's a good thing.
Yeah. So. And another thing that if somebody's headed for that season, that they could, hey, maybe that's you. Maybe you could serve that way, because serving, yeah. it just doesn't stop. Remember Grandma Ruth?
Yeah.
Don't shoot down.
She would be there in the grocery line saying, darling, you've got to come hear my sons preach at our church. Here's a card. And what are you going to do? Say no to Grandma Ruth? You're not going to do that. So no matter what the age is, you're sent. You know, you've got the ability to go do something for the kingdom of
sure.
God. What would you guys, if you had a 33-year-old or a 53-year-old that was asking you, how should I prepare, or in this season of my life, what wisdom would you have for them that aren't in our season of life, that are after us, that are younger?
Great question.
I think helping them recognize that it comes a lot faster than they realize. I remember when I got hired at the post office, and they give you this thing called a Form 50, and it tells you how much you're going to get paid, what your position is, and then it says your annuity date, your eligible retirement date. And I looked at it, and this was 1982, and I looked at it and said it was 2012 or something like that. And I said, 2012? They haven't even made calendars with 2012 on it yet.
No.
And all of a sudden, boom, it was there.
Yeah.
And I was getting my 30-year PIN. And so I realized that I think that there should be a recognition that it's in the future. It is there for you.
Yeah.
And don't wait until you're at your 34th year and 364th day of working at a company and you're ready to step into that. You need to start thinking and planning about it early.
And not just financially.
No, mm-hmm. absolutely.
That's part of it.
See, I was blessed because I was bivocational. I was serving as worship pastor of the church and as a manager at the post office. So when I stepped out of that one role, I still had this role to go into, which was a good thing. But a lot of guys may not have that. So
That abrupt stop is really, one of our guys was a titan of financial industry, right? And one day he was bossing all the money around and all the people around in a very gentle way because he's a wonderful human being. But then all of a sudden, he wasn't. It was just, and watching Sylvia transition and our church in a transition, that was helpful to see, okay, I got a heads up on sure. how this is going. You got some wisdom for a younger guy or woman?
I would say that to the young guy, what he's doing now may not necessarily translate into what he's going to do after he retires.
Yeah.
And you may all of a sudden, and a friend of mine told me, he says, you're going down the road and you come up to an intersection, it's just a T, and you're asking God, all right, do I go left or right? And sometimes you may not hear anything, and you just have to make a decision. Just turn, and God will be there. And so we don't have to have our life planned out. It's when God called Abraham, he didn't tell him where he was going.
He just said, go.
Yeah.
That's hard because our lives have been so structured every day. We've got this, and we've got to do this, and we've got to do this. And when retirement comes, you've got to go, now what? Yeah. So there's got to be a little bit of forethought. May not know exactly what you're going to do, but you have to sometimes make a decision without a clear sign and just trust God that He is going to be there after you've made the turn.
Yeah.
And it's just, because it is scary. Retirement can be scary, but don't worry. God hasn't. Yeah. God hasn't left. And it's like you're walking down the street and you're coming to a corner. You can't see what's around the corner.
Yeah.
But God's standing there and He says, I can see what's
I'm
there.
I'm already there. Yeah.
You know? So it is really, it's developing your trust in God now. So when that time comes, it is like second nature. And I'm still learning that. We just have to realize God isn't always going to have everything laid out for you, and He's going to tell you exactly what you're going to do for the next 10
years. That's part of the adventure. Some people aren't built for an adventure. The adventure of knowing who He is and knowing for so long He's been worthy of our trust. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it through this long life that we've had, mine particularly today.
If He was faithful during like your 35 years of working, why isn't He going to be faithful mm-hmm. after you?
And with as near to an audible voice as I have heard from Him, He told me exactly that, Hank. Yeah. He said, you've trusted me for this 75% of your life. I'm trustworthy for this 25%. Yep. Okay, I want to jump into one other thing because I want to lecture Matt Foreman.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So this is the deal. I have the opportunity to, sometimes it's mentoring, a lot of times it's just being together and hanging out. And the fact that a young person would even listen to you, it's like, I have made more mistakes in my life than anybody else. Maybe we can learn from those. I don't know. But the one thing, I have some special relationships like that in my life. Hey, Parker. And Matt, if I was speaking, if I asked myself this question, if I was speaking to a young man, I would say, absolutely, positively, investigate and find out about Sabbath now. Like, I had 5 kids, mm-hmm. and I got my 22nd grandkid coming, but I can't really talk about it publicly. Oh, this is public? Okay, never mind. I'm not telling you. I'm not telling
that
nobody.
Was staged.
I'm not telling nobody. But really, yeah, I got another one coming. So I remember the season of life with 5 kids, right? Foothills 5 before I was even working at Foothills. And so it's harder to find Sabbath in that season, in the season that you're in.
Yeah.
But you must. You absolutely, positively must. And I learned it the hard way. Sounds easy now. When I come home, my house is clean. Except if Buddy's got his stuffed animals strewn on the floor. Oh my gosh, what will I do now?
No.
And I'm not running around and changing diapers and all of those things, right? But if you create a habit of Sabbath, which is a commandment which has been modeled by the Father mm-hmm. and the Son, and He created us to need Sabbath, we must have it. He designed us for it. It's critical. Things, He starts from rest. And then you could take over the world, and you're a take over the world kind of guy. I respect that about you. So that's what I would tell a young man. And what I'm learning now in retirement is true rest and true Sabbath. And I'm a big John Mark Comer fan, stumble across John Mark and the relentless elimination of hurry and that kind of thing, spiritual formation. So that's in retirement, I'm learning that. Semi-retirement, I'm learning that. I wish I would have learned it sooner. I didn't. In all my years of pastoring, I really never really entered into the fullness of Sabbath.
Yeah,
ever. Now that's, I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry I didn't listen close enough. Mm-hmm. But if I can walk in that now, and He's so full of grace and forgiveness, and if I can pass that along, how critical that is, that's the kind of thing that I would pass along, not just to Matthew, but to this beautiful woman over here as well.
Yeah.
Sabbath is critical. Are you guys finding that in the season that you're in? Are you finding Sabbath rest?
Trying.
Okay.
We don't want it.
I still
we
have.
We don't want him to.
I still have.
The pressure of beyond. You guys, the guys that are listening, you have to understand that half the people speaking right now are on the worship team.
That's right.
Okay, it's just Steve and I that they lead us in right. worship. So it's a demanding thing.
I have such a beautiful wife, and she's so gracious and kind. He has recognized that I have what's called an overdeveloped sense of responsibility. Mark Hoffman called me.
Yes.
So I will, if in the day of our Sabbath, the day that we set aside, can you not do anything on Monday? If something comes up, I have a conversation with her and we say, yeah, this is important. So can we do something different later or on a different day?
So a little bit of flexibility.
Flexibility, absolutely. Okay. But I'm trying to be more purposeful about the Sabbath, about just connecting a time that we're not doing anything. Now, so whether it means I'm going to shut my phone off, I haven't done that yet. But
you can do it. You could do
I
it.
I can do it.
I
can
I know yeah. someone that does that. Right on. On Saturdays, they turn their phone off.
There we go.
Yeah, it's a hard lesson because you've been so structured for X number of years to do things. And, of course, there's been a lot of times where I shouldn't have been working on Sundays, working 7 days a week sometimes. Yeah. And then it's okay, you have the time, but then that's the struggle to turn around and keep the focus on God for one full day where you don't really have anything to do except, like you said, turn off the TV and turn off the phone, and you go into shock.
It equates to this. I never thought about it this way, but it equates to, God, if you give me $1 million, I'm going to be very generous. But I don't have much money right now. And so when we had very little opportunity for Sabbath, not doing it and practicing it, right? So that when you've got all this time, it's not like starting from scratch. Right. You know what I mean? So Sabbath takes place in every season of life. It's just when things are crazy, it might look a little bit different, but it's still critically important.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the need to keep going, and this is probably me stretching, do you feel like the need to keep going has anything to do with an anxiety or fear of the sufficiency that God puts in our life? I wonder.
I think it can be if you're built that way.
Just like the need to be like, I can't stop, because if I do stop, then how is this going to get done? Yeah. Who's going to pay for blah, blah, blah? Yeah. Especially if you're like the person that pays for everything in your family, you feel like, well, if I stop, then this isn't going to get paid for.
Because you're not trusting God for it.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, my God will supply all my needs according to riches.
Yeah.
So is it a lack of trust if you try to just barrel through and consume every minute of the day doing or week doing?
Or are we trusting?
We're trusting.
Yeah, that's what my father always taught me, was that like the Sabbath is very similar to your tithe, right? It's I'm giving my tithe to the Lord, my first fruits, and saying, God, I don't need all my money. I'm going to trust you that you're going to provide and take care of me. And it's the same thing with the Sabbath. I don't got to work 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And even when it comes to ministry, sometimes it feels like, if I don't do this, who's going to do it? Or like what Hank mentioned earlier, where we feel this unneeded weight and pressure, like I need to accomplish this goal. If I don't do it, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
And like what a selfish, prideful thing that is to say, no, God can handle this. God can take care of this. And I can still enjoy, and I can still take that rest and that time with the Lord and time with my family, and trust that God is going to provide and he's going to take care of this situation.
That's it, man. It's the same formula. If you trust him with a tenth, you can trust him with the seventh and see what he does. Because we've all seen it when we do tithe. When you see, when you do this, when you take the Sabbath, see what he does. Mm-hmm. I think one of the challenges, Rihanna, is we're boomers. And we were taught to work hard and work long and work. And that's just the makeup. And that's a shift mentally that I think. And
I do a horrible job at giving the whole day to God. And it's because I said, okay, I go to church and then I go to the refire, then we have Bible study, and so I'm good. But then when you really think about it, you're still not giving that whole day, and it doesn't come to mind nearly as much as it should. And it's just really, it's really hard to shift gears. Like you said, you've been going and you say, okay, I've given God my 2 or 3 hours today and I'm good.
Check.
And, you know, it's checking a box. And then now when you start realizing this, man, I'm really not doing too good.
When I first was challenged with it, it was with my son, Jeremy. And we were sitting in a group of cool guys that I like to hang out with, young guys. And I said, don't you think that this Sabbath is, we're entering into the rest because we don't have to earn salvation. We're in Jesus Christ, and that's the Sabbath. He's our Sabbath rest. And he goes, yeah, but I think it's 1 day in 7 too, Dad. And I went, huh. So I took a look at it, and I just studied it on my own. What's the Bible say? Imagine that. And one of the things that I saw is, number one, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's not one of those laws like that, a burden on you. It was a gift from God for you. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees saying, hey, they're picking the heads of grain off here. And he goes, hey, he's Lord of the Sabbath. So he'll work it out with you. It's like a fitness program. Oh, I think I'll go do an Ironman. No, start with a day. Start with a step. Mm-hmm. And he'll walk with you through it, and he'll help you create the Sabbath that he invented for us, yeah, so that we can walk in that kind of rest. So no matter what age we are, no matter what season of life we are, that can be breakthrough kingdom living.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brianna, I think that you should pray for us old timers.
Sure. Me and my millennial heart.
There we go.
Lord, I thank you for this time. God, I thank you for your goodness and your graciousness. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. And Lord, we declare that you are holy and sovereign, and that you are in control, that you're king of the universe of our lives. I thank you for the men in this room. I thank you for their leadership. I thank you for the vision that you've given them. We love them so much. I love them so much, Lord. You know how much. And I thank you for them being here. And we just thank you for this time. And pray this in your name. Amen.